For our scripture reading today, we have Psalm 73, 1 through 14. Psalm 73. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. The evil conceits of their minds know no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, how can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge? This is what the wicked are like. Always carefree, they increase in wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. In vain I have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning. All right, and we'll call up Keith.
Morning. We've started a series. If you're here for the first time this fall, and several of you are, it's good to have our congregation back together. That's what happens when school starts. You have to come back, whether you want to or not. And glad to have you here. We started a series last week on the seven vices and the seven virtues. Last week we looked at pride and humility. Today we are looking at envy and contentment. And the service kind of jumps around a bit. We've changed the order of some things. Perhaps you've noticed that already. So Brian is our first worship director outside the pastoral team that gets to navigate all this. So we're grateful that he's here. And glad for this particular text, which was suggested for this topic of envy, which is the one that I've been given. And it's appropriate because I've struggled with that in my life. I've struggled with this psalm, which seems to say what I've been feeling a lot, which is one of the reasons it's one of my favorites. Verse 3 says, I was envious of the arrogant, because everything seems to go their way. And then as I was listening to Brian read this, the feeling of, in verse 12, the wicked are always at ease and they increase in riches, and I'm doing things right and life is not going well for me. And that's the struggle that a lot of people have. If we feel like if we do the right thing and live a good life, then good things will happen to us. What happens if we do the right thing and live a good life and bad things happen to us? And Scripture struggles with that a lot. And Psalm 73 is one that just plain comes right out and verbalizes it. Actually, envy and contentment are both found in Psalm 73. But in the first half, it's just envy. And that's the half I've been given. I've also noticed that the envy that I have struggled with in my life tended to be most obvious for me in junior high and high school. So if you're a young person listening to this morning, I have a message for you. And I'll conclude with a part of that at the end of speaking directly to high school age this morning. Being envious can take two different levels, and I've sort of divided this into two tiers, if you will. And when I think of being envious, I think of all the moves that our family has made. Our family, before I ever met Connie, made a lot of different moves. Lived in Virginia and Ohio, two different sections of New York. But married Connie and lived in Nebraska for the first year in her hometown, then moved to another town in Nebraska, 3 hours away. That was for the next 3 years. Then we moved to Heston, Kansas, took a job there at the college where I attended. Then we moved to Buffalo, New York, Williamsville to be exact, where I pastored the Harris Hill Mennonite Church for 7.5 years, the longest up to that point that I had ever lived anywhere. Then we moved again to Washington, Iowa. That was a big move to be the camp administrator of Mennonite camp there. Another 7.5 years went by. Then we moved again back to Buffalo to pastor a different church in the same area as I had done the first one. Lasted 5.5 years at that one. Then we moved here to Lewis County. been here ever since. This is the longest I've ever lived in one place. Probably only because I'm getting too old to have many more options. I'm always looking for the next thing. And actually, since I've been here, my job has changed. As many of you know, I moved here to be the director of Beaver Camp, which I'm not doing at all anymore. But I'm here in this congregation, and I'm also working at the Maple Ridge Center. And by the way, thank you for those of you who came and ate with us last night and rode on the bike ride. We did raise pretty close to somewhere between $2,000 and $2,500, and that's pretty good. That'll give us a good start toward the meat canning season. And a lot of you folks were there. I got there late. I was there earlier and then had to leave and then came back, so I missed a lot of you, but I know a lot of you were there. So even here, and in all these locations I mentioned, we often switched houses. So while we still lived in the same place, we lived in one house and moved again. We've moved 17 times since I've been married. What's that all about? Part of it is opportunities that come up. That's how I would describe it. A better opportunity came along, so I took it. Part of it was also a little bit of envy. I would just wish I was somewhere else. Maybe if I was there doing that job. That has entered into my life quite a bit. That kind of envy probably isn't all that harmful, but it can lead to that second tier of envy, and that's what the psalmist is dealing with. Feeling bitter when others have it better. That's the type of envy that is harmful. And that's the type that I wish to address a little bit this morning. And I've had this in my life too. Speaking of which, by the way, Connie is in Nebraska right now. Her uncle passed away. This was an uncle that was pretty close to us. We connected with him a lot, shared a lot of pastoral things back and forth because he was an elder in the church at the time. He was about 92 years of age. But Connie will be dealing with this now as she's in Nebraska. She is often, and we've talked about this, so I'm not talking behind her back, she's often envious of the rest of her family that has lived there all their lives. They relate to each other in a different way than they relate to her, and she feels that very much. And already she learned something about a family member that she didn't know, that everybody else knew, a medical thing, and she wrote back, texted me, "This is really bugging me. Why is this bothering me so much?" Well, she feels on the outside of things. And so she struggles with that when she goes back home. At the same time, she would say, as she has to me, that all the experiences that we've had, the experiences she's had here with you all, she wouldn't want to change that. And it's been a wonderful thing. So you can't have your cake and eat it too, as much as we try and do that. And I think that some of her family is envious of her, that she has moved around so many different places and had so many different opportunities. And now that she's a pastor, sometimes I wonder if they even know what to think about that, because that was not at all what she was about growing up. She may share a little bit more about that. So this thing of always looking to the outside and being envious, but it's that second level I started there that gets a little harmful. I experienced this in high school when the Buffalo Sabres hockey team started in 1970 where we lived. And they started to do very well a couple years in, and they started to win. And everybody wanted to go to those games. You could not get a ticket. They were sellouts. The only way to get a ticket, if you were not a season ticket holder, it was to stand in line six games ahead of time at the ticket window downtown Buffalo and hope they didn't run out by the time you got up to get your tickets. Well, I could not drive, and I was still in high school, but my friend across the street, we were good friends, I was envious of him a lot. They had a color TV before we did. They got a snowblower before, well, we never did get a snowblower. I had to shovel, and he had it easy, and he just seemed to have everything. So I was already envious of him. He said he would go down and wait in line and get a couple tickets for us. Well, I was excited about that. Well, they would only sell two tickets to each person. So he came back and he said, "I'm sorry, I could only get two tickets. I'm taking my little brother to the game." I was really envious of that, to the point that I hoped the team would lose the next game. Not only that, I hoped they had a lousy time. You see what was happening to me? That level of envy had gone into that second tier, and now I was bitter. And I stayed that way. And I didn't like that hockey team for 3 years because of that. And they were good. I could have enjoyed myself watching them, but I didn't because I was mad at my neighbor. And that was not a healthy form of envy at all. And in fact, it made me a person who was not properly appreciative, because later, on a day when there was no school, but I had a job at that point and had to work, he took his little brother down and stood in line and got 4 tickets that day. And I was one of the recipients. But by then I was hoping the team would lose. So I was not properly appreciative, and I probably even said something like, "This is no big deal." To which the little brother said, "I stood in line for 2 hours to get those tickets. Don't you say that." You see how much of a jerk I was because of that bitterness that I was feeling, that somebody else had it better than me? Could not be content. That's the kind of envy that I pass along, particularly to the younger people in the congregation. Don't let that take over your life. It is very easy for that to happen and for you to be bitter when you sense that someone else has everything going for them. I graduated from high school in 1974. That means that this year is my 45th class reunion at Eastern Mennonite High School in Virginia. And I'll probably go down, be the third weekend in October. I've been trying to go to these. I've noticed something as the years have gone by. And I'll just share this matter-of-factly. Maybe I shouldn't share it, but I will, because I think there are people in high school here that will connect. When I was in high school, I was interested in girls very much. And there were several that were really good-looking. I'll leave it at that. So I watched them and just wished that one of those could be a special friend of mine. But no, the popular guys in the class always got those girls. There were other girls interested in me, but I didn't like how they looked, and I wasn't too excited about that. Well, I specifically remember the year, 15-year class reunion, when I signed up to go, and then I couldn't go at the last minute, but I had signed up to get the photograph of everybody that was there. So an 8x10 photograph came in the mail, and I started studying it and looking at the people in the picture, and there was one very attractive young lady there that I didn't recognize. 15 years, we'd have been early 30s, 32 years old. I didn't recognize her. Who's that? And then as I looked at the people there and I looked a little closer, wow, she was really attractive. She was one of those who was interested in me back then, but she didn't look like she did then in that picture. And not only that, but some of the girls that I was interested in back then had not aged so well in the picture. They weren't nearly as attractive as they were. I even talked to one of my friends in my class about this, and he said, "Yes, I noticed that. I was shocked." All that to say, first of all, this is not a pattern. If you're attractive now, it doesn't mean you're going to be ugly in 15 years. And if you're ugly now, it doesn't mean you're going to be attractive in 15 years. But what I'm saying is this. I think that your countenance and your life, and for whatever reason, some of the attractive girls that I'm thinking of, I don't know why, if it was coincidence, they got caught in some really bad marriages and some difficult situations. And I'm guessing that wears on you physically. If any of you have been through that, you feel that. This other gal, things were going well for her, and it was showing the peace and contentment in her face. How you feel about envy and contentment will affect the way that you look. And when you're in high school, what you look like is about the most important thing in the world. I'll just say it. It was to me. It's still important now, but it doesn't have quite the same level of concern that it did then. So avoid envy if you can, and avoid bitterness if you can, and realize that 10 or 15 years down the road, things could really change dramatically for you. Contentment is the way to go. Adam's going to talk to us about that. All that to say that I have more than one car in my garage, and a couple of them I take really good care of. When the salt gets on them in the wintertime, I wash it off, I scrub them up. But there's another one that's old and already is too far gone, and I don't pay any attention to that one. And the rust keeps eating that away worse and worse. Envy is like winter salt. We're getting into that season. It will eat you alive if you let it do that. And so my admonishment to you this morning, don't let it hit that second tier. The first one is problematic enough. The second one is really a problem. Let's not go there.